Hi, my name is Sharon Lipinski, and welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from people around the country who are already running Giving Circles so that we can learn from each other and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. Today, I'm speaking with Paula Carter and Shirley King with the Rochester Women's Giving Circle, and they are both co-chairs of the organization. Welcome, Paula and Shirley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, would you start by kind of giving us an overview of your Giving Circle?
Sure. Paula, do you want to start with that?
Our Giving Circle was formed in 2007 by five members. We were five friends who had worked together in local philanthropy for women in our community, and we had all left that organization and were somewhat frustrated with not being able to impact problems of women and girls in our community. So just sitting around one evening, we decided to pool our money together, money that we might give to organizations, and decided to form a giving circle so that we could give our money.
Although we didn't know it was that.
right. But yeah. We quickly learned that the giving circle model existed, and we had $5,000 at that point, but we realized in order to be a fully fledged giving circle, we needed to be sponsored by our area community foundation and have $25,000 in a fund, which we quickly collected more friends to the circle, asked them to contribute a minimum of $1,000, and we had a giving circle by the summer of 2007. And our focus was helping women and girls in our community gain economic independence. We wanted to sponsor, support programs and organizations that provided training and skill building, educational opportunities for women. And girls, we wanted to support programs that would help them stay in school, finish high school, avoid teen pregnancy, and really set their sights higher towards higher education and being able to provide, you know, a good living wage for themselves. So that was our mission. We had basically $25,000 at the first steps in 2007, and since that time, we have donated money every year to these types of programs, and we have grown in 4 years to 80 members. And over the last 4 years, we've given away nearly $250,000 to our local programs that support women and girls in this effort. So that's kind of how, you know, brief thumbnail sketch of how we started and how we've grown.
I'm here. Excuse me. I'll go in the other room.
Okay.
And you've donated over $250,000 in just 5 years. That's
4 years.
That's phenomenal. 4 years.
4 years.
In 4 years.
Yeah. And, you know,
four,
like a giving circle, we do not have an endowment. We are very keen to bring the money in and grant the money out within a very short time period, and we have low overhead as well. So $99 of every 100 that are donated by our members are given out directly to the programs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do any fundraising or events. We just have our members contribute money, a minimum of $1,000 a year during the calendar year. Our grant process starts early in the calendar year, March, April. And by June, we are prepared to give out all the money that that's been donated to our circles during the previous calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So we really like that model of money in, money out, and 99% of the money goes directly to serve the people that we're, you know, trying to help.
And I also think it's important to note that we, by partnering with the Community Foundation, they provided us with 501c3 status. They provided us with a lot of services that we would otherwise have to pay for. Our members at this point pay $40 a year for administrative costs, but that is a huge draw for women. They don't want to see, at least our members tell us this, they don't want to see their money going towards overhead. So we have a joke. The joke is we have no staff, But really, it's we have no paid staff.
It's all volunteer.
Because we all work very, very hard at this because we have a very rigorous grant process that has gained a huge reputation in this community for being rigorous, thorough, and the follow-up aspect that we introduced to it, which is following up on measures and outcomes and feeding that back, giving that back, that information back to our members, has been a real plus. So mm-hmm. we tell our members, we will follow your money. This is an investment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely want to talk about your grant process, but if I want to back up and just ask a couple of questions about what you've covered so far. So when you say that, you know, they give $40 for administrative costs, then that's essentially going for your partnership with the foundation. What they provide you, you do have to compensate them in some
well,
capacity.
Well, no, that goes to cover our own internal costs, our meetings, providing refreshments and paying for venues and paying for incidental little things that we might do, name tags and everything. But it's really just basic supplies and consumables.
And the Community Foundation provides their services for a very nominal percentage of our fund. So, and I mean very nominal. They have been a wonderful partner.
It sounds like you're lucky to have found them. How did you get that partnership?
Well, one of our early members, or even before we were a woman who runs Grant Making Forum here, she's executive director, she suggested it. And so we called the foundation, the Community Foundation, and asked to meet with them. And as it turned out, they were so eager to introduce a Giving Circle model in this community. Our foundation, our Community Foundation, is very strong. It's very well known, and it's run by a remarkable woman who is very current on philanthropy. And so this was an objective of hers. And it really, Sharon, we just kind of fell into it. It was one of those things where they were looking for that, and we did not want to form a 501c3. We didn't want to write checks. We didn't want to do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. There's enough work already to do that.
Right.
So. Indeed. And it's not cheap to do those things either.
No.
But
I'm sorry.
You know, in some ways, we thought that putting our money at the foundation would give us, you know, that necessary nonprofit status that our members wanted in order to have their own tax deduction. But in fact, it turned out to be, as Shirley said, such a beneficial relationship because they have helped us garner our request for proposals, our grant proposals every year. They, you know, have a great process for drawing in the community of people looking for money. And so they've helped us get our grant proposals every January by posting our circle on their website and saying that we have money to help support women and girls in the community. So, you know, the partnership has been more beneficial than we even initially thought.
Right.
Because they've really
They send out the RFPs, they receive the proposals, they organize them, they get them to us, and then we just pick up with the process.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And with the $25,000 requirement that they have, now do you have to keep that in there, or when you spend down you just can't give out again until you have $25,000 back in?
That's true.
Well, we can definitely spend down, but I'm not even sure that we have to have $25,000, but we always do because we've been growing. Our fund has been growing every year, and since we give out in June and our grant and our donation year is January through December, we actually have money coming in year round.
Okay.
I think it basically was minimum of $25,000 to start the fund at the foundation.
To start it, right.
Yeah.
And actually, when we give out the grants, that's in June, and we probably are below $25,000, but that's not, it's not at any time. It's by the end of the year. So the fund at the end of the year, we are looked at as an initiative fund, and they have to have $25,000. That's the minimum requirement for managing that type of fund, and that's by December 31st.
Okay. So as long as you're back up,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do your members contribute their $1,000? Do they write a check one time? Do you do it monthly?
No,
most of them write
not.
A check one time at some point during the calendar year. And we, you know, we encourage them to donate as early in the year as possible just because the money is invested at the foundation and growing. But the end of the year is the deadline, and, you know, most of them write a check. Some people may write, you know, split it in two or three parts, but they can donate directly to the foundation.
Right. And I was a little flip with that, Sharon. We really like to get it all at once because that helps us. The 1% fee that we pay is based on what we have in there. And so the more we have in, the more we can, you know, the more services we get for whatever that percentage is. So, plus it's very awkward doing monthly deductions or quarterly deductions. We probably have 4 people who do that out of 80. And we also, by the way, have members who give more than 1,000.
Well, I would imagine if you were giving away 250,000 over the past 4 years, you'd have to have people giving away.
Yeah, we do.
And but as long as you give $1,000, nothing is different for your members.
No,
right.
No.
Right?
And even
levels.
If you give $10,000, nothing is different because we really try to regard every member as an equal link, you know, to the circle, and hope that they'll participate and enjoy, you know, the work of the circle, the benefits of the social aspect of the circle, and bring in new friends to join the circle. So we really try to, you know, keep everyone as an equal member of the circle. And when it comes to ratifying our grant proposals, everyone shares in that equally. So,
right. Mm-hmm. So it's one donation, one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Money in, money out, one donation, one vote. Those are the rules. They're fairly simple.
So would you share with us now what your grant process is?
Sure. Paula, do you want me to do that and you chime
sure.
in?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in January, Sharon, we send out requests for proposals, and that is done through the Community Foundation website. And there are clear guidelines on the website. And this past year, in addition to that, Paula and I also sent out personal letters to organizations that we felt fit, would have programs that fit our mission. And how many did we send out, Paula?
We sent out about 45 letters.
Okay.
And some of those people, the executive director of the organization, we sent the letters to them, and some of them were aware of us, but a lot of them, you know, did not know that the Rochester Women's
right.
Giving Circle existed and had, you know, last year over $85,000 ready to donate in 2012. Right. So I think it really garnered us quite a healthy number of grant proposals
it
this
did.
Year.
It jumped our proposals, didn't quite double it, but close. So they do proposals. They send them back in by the end of February. The foundation coordinates all that. They list them. They do all the administrative stuff. And then we get the actual folders containing all the grants. And I think this last year we had almost 30. That's when our grant-making committee kicks in. This year it was 10 women with 2 co-chairs. And they go through a very rigorous process. And if anyone wanted to go on our website, you'll see what that process is. Because we target our grants. We do not simply fund any kind of program for women or girls. what Paula said initially is so important to our giving circle. That is to support education, training, skill building, keeping girls in school, not getting pregnant, and if they get pregnant, still stay in school. So we're talking about people, women and girls, most of whom who have already made a decision to stabilize their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of program we want to target. And our committee goes through three stages of review. The first is a simple scan for, is this complete? Are all the pieces here? Is this what we want? Is this, I mean, does this fit our mission and vision? Blah, blah, blah. The second level is really digging into it. You know, what is the program that is proposed here? How does it support women and or girls? And then the third tier or screen is an on-site visit by two members of the grant-making committee. And they meet, not, they don't go to look at the program. They go to talk to the executive director and the program director or manager, because at that point we have learned that we really need to look at whether that organization has the capacity to actually do what they say they want to do. In other words, do they have the staff? Do they have the plan? Is it can they implement it within 1 to 2 months, et cetera, et cetera? So that's the real catch at the end. We want to know, how are you going to do this? What are those outcomes? How will you achieve them? And how will you measure them?
And you're judging that based on your conversation with the leadership and if that leadership is capable of implementing those.
And also they've been required to present their objectives and their measures in their proposal.
Yeah.
So we kind of go into the interview knowing what they hope to achieve, and then we dig deeper to find out that they really have the capacity to do it, and if they've done it in the past, how much growth or increase they expect to achieve. So, you know, as Shirley said earlier, we're investing our members' money, and we see it as a personal investment in our community, so we want to get a good return on our investment and have successful programs all around. And we've funded well-established programs in the community, and we've funded newer, more innovative programs, hoping to get off the ground.
So you started with 85 RSPs last year.
No, we started with 30.
29
30.
Okay,
30.
You sent out 85 letters, maybe. Okay, sorry. So you had 30... I'm sorry.
Well, the Community Foundation has a vast emailing list, and we just sort of supplemented it specifically with about 45 letters to community organizations. And at the end of February this year, we had, I think, 29 proposals requesting over a quarter of $1 million. They want the total grant request was for, I think, $258,000.
Right.
Now, at the end of 2010, we had about $86,000 collected that we were prepared to give out this June. So we really had to eliminate, you know, quite a few grants through the process.
So how do you eliminate?
Just what I described to you. They go through this three-tier process. And for instance, always at the first level of review, we'll find some who really aren't serving the population that we want. They're serving women in total crisis, like abused women, shelters.
Homeless
and
women.
It's not something that we fund. It's very valid, but it is not our niche, if you will. So
you're keeping very focused on your target market
and what
it is that you want to fix.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We are.
So that eliminates some, and then you go to the next level and you eliminate some more.
Right.
Right. Based on
Then we go to the third, which is really the telling one, because now we want to really see how this operation runs, how they will implement the grant, how likely it is that they have the capacity to achieve these goals that they've put in their proposal. And our members, committee members have a lot of experience in digging in because they go through the budgets, they go through the financials, they go through the staffing. I mean, it's a very thorough screening. And
so
then,
please continue.
Then the committee comes back to the table and they have to represent every single proposal that had a visit. And that is a very hard meeting because by the time you get to that point, Sharon, every grant is a good grant. They all meet our requirements, you know. So,
yeah.
Excuse me. So we probably have, 20 worth $180,000 on the table, and we only have $86,000 to give. So that's when the real in-depth process starts in our committee. They review them. They cannot take sides. Every single member has read every single grant, so they stay as objective as they can. And at the end of that night, which sometimes is a long one, they have the final grants to recommend to the steering committee. And then it comes to us, the steering committee, which is a committee of eight, I think. Is that right, Paula?
Right.
And then what do you guys do?
Well, we hear a summary of the grant of the grants that have been recommended for funding. And it's a summary of the program and also the support, the validity of the program, the capacity of the program to achieve their goals and something about their history and how they've done in the past. And so the whole circle entrusts the grant-making process and the recommendations to the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we ask questions and validate, you know, from our committee members who are there, the facts about each grant. But basically, it is a time just to inform the steering committee, and at that point, if there are any hugely glaring issues, it can be discussed and resolved. But as I said, we entrust the grant-making committee with the responsibility of making the recommendations, and they're so experienced, seasoned, and the grant-making process is so thorough. And as Shirley said, every committee member has familiarized themselves with every grant because we pass them around every tier of the process, that everyone's familiar, everyone knows well the program and how it's going to work. So it's mainly an informational gathering session where the people that are kind of doing the work of the circle are familiar with the grants. And
And we say up front, Sharon, any member can be on this committee. Now, fortunately,
okay, so that's the one member, 80 one vote.
Yeah, 80 people have not taken us up on it.
That would be a really long meeting.
50 people.
That would be a very long meeting. But in the beginning, the women we attracted in the beginning were women who very much had passion about these issues. But many of them had very little time. And so we had some problems finding people to staff the committees. Now we have many women who are very eager. We have a huge breakfast to announce the grants. All the grantees are there. The members are all there. I mean, it's really a fabulous morning. And our members walk out saying, I want to be on this committee next year.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
So it has... it has grown in gaining membership, I guess is what I'd say.
Yeah.
And gaining participation as well.
Yeah.
And people find, as I'm sure maybe you can have found or understand, that you know the benefit to the members is really found in participating in the work because you get to know
mm-hmm.
your fellow
yeah.
members well and
mm-hmm.
really understand the process of what you're doing and the importance and the reward of what you're doing. So,
yeah,
we're getting more and more people to come on board with participating in the work, and we've actually have two additional committees, standing committees, the Educational Committee and the Membership Committee. So, and the Educational Committee is really an important part of helping our members deepen their understanding of the challenges in our community, not just, you know, kind of the approach that, oh, this program will fix that, but really what is the cause and the challenges facing these women who are dealing with poverty and being often single heads of households and not being able to earn a living wage, you know, that type of thing. So we have an educational committee that meets regularly and tries to put together a program of educational meetings for our members where we have speakers come and speak to the membership about these topics that we're concerned about.
Mm-hmm. And your members get a lot of value out of that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do. They do. We do one major one a year, and then we do three small, what we call conversations with community leaders. So we'll ask someone who is at a an organization who heads up a program, or we'll ask someone who perhaps is from Center for Governmental Research, which is a not-for-profit here that really looks at issues in the Rochester area, and they come and we can just talk. So it's less a presentation and more, let's talk about this. Let's really try and get our arms around some of this so we make more informed grants. That's really the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think we're starting to really do that.
I want to ask you a question.
It's also a way of kind of helping to sustain our membership. Because
yeah.
the more you
yep.
know, the more committed you
yep.
want to become, you know, in mm-hmm. helping to get the money together to help these programs work.
Yep.
Yeah. I've talked with a number of giving circles, and one of the things that I hear not infrequently is, you know, as they're giving away money through their grant processes, they end up giving more people a little bit of money because when they get through the entire process, they feel like these organizations have done so much work that they hate to deny them entirely. You know, so they end up giving, you know, a little bit of money here and there. And what I'm hearing from you guys is you're very focused.
We are.
And I'm wondering if you can give some advice to people on how to say no.
Well, the first thing is you have to know what you want, particularly, specifically. You know, do you want to focus on just these kinds of programs? Do you want to, which we call, it's like a shotgun, or rather a laser beam. Or do you want to focus on all? And that is kind of like a shotgun. It spews all over. So I think my advice, and Paula has certainly can add to this because she's very close to this, stay focused on your mission. We keep our mission. We have two graphics that we use and are up on the wall at every meeting, and those co-chairs refer to them and say, okay, show me where this program fits our schematic, if you will, for granting to this population and this particular focus, whether it's education, training, or skill building. So that's one thing. The second thing is to really get the membership to understand a little bit of money does nothing. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't help that organization. We feel bad. That is a thing that I think many of us struggle with. We feel bad if we're leaving people out or not recognizing them, just what you said, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
What we say is let the mission drive the money, and then how much money does it take to accomplish what they want to do?
Mm-hmm.
So
when we get a grant,
we give them the amount they ask for, unless we just don't have enough. If they ask for $50,000, we wouldn't do that. But we've given many grants at $10,000 from the very first year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, Shirley. That's what I was going to add, that number one, we do not give to we do not give to individuals, for one thing. I don't know if other circles do, but we don't give to any individual people. We give to only nonprofit organizations. But the other thing, as Shirley said, we try to give them exactly what they ask for, because, you know, they base their numbers on needing this amount of money to make their program work. And so
right.
if they ask for $10,000, that's what we give them, even though it may eliminate the opportunity to give it to another organization. But there's no point in giving every organization $2,000,
right,
just to have
right.
more participants, you know. So we really try to give them what they want in terms of the dollars and see how that will impact their success.
Because when you think about it, and when the committee thought this through, the grant that comes to our table is predicated on the amount of money they ask for. So if they've asked for $10,000 and we say, well, we want to give some over here and some here and some here, so we can't give you 10, but we'll give you 2, you no longer have that program operating.
Right.
You've lost the opportunity to do something wonderful for women and girls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we approach it, that, yes, it's hard. Yes, you'll struggle with it, but don't ask an organization to pare things down so then they really can't do what they initially said they wanted to do. Won't work.
I'm sorry. Please continue.
It won't work, yeah.
Yeah, it won't work is what I said.
I would love to be a fly on the wall at one of your meetings. Maybe if I'm ever in the Rochester area, I can come.
Oh, you
pick
don't
out
have to
program.
Be a fly. You can fly in.
Come on over, Sharon.
So we're actually just running out of time.
We could meet in Monterey. That would be equally nice.
Yeah, right. It is. So before we wrap up, I want to ask you if there was anything that you wanted me to ask you, or anything that you're especially proud of or unique about your circle that you would like to share now.
Well, we're very pleased with our growth, to be sure, because when we started this, our feet were quite wet. We weren't exactly sure where this was all leading, but I would have to say that, looking back over the last 4 years, every year has brought us more and more success with our membership, with our dollars, with the number of organizations in town who are aware of us, and we just hope it will continue.
Yeah. And I would add 2 things. One is piggybacking on what Paula said. We're very proud of our growth, particularly given the economic environment we're in. We went from 5 women to 29 women to 39 women to 49, and now we're 80. And during a time when most not-for-profits, their contributions declined anywhere from 20 to 30%. So this is a community that wants to give, and I think we're all proud of that. And I think our model plays into women wanting to see what their money does for them. I'm going to use a rather term, but it isn't chump change. $1,000, many of our members are not wealthy. Neither Paula nor I are wealthy. It's $1,000 is an amount for some people. We follow that for them, and that's the other thing that I would say. We have a rigorous follow-up process, and we once a year feed back to our members, and we tell them exactly what was accomplished with each grant, whether they met their objectives, whether they didn't, and how, what the percent was of organizations doing what they said they'd do. I think it was 2 years ago, 96% of our dollars were highly effective. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And people
and
keep
you know,
coming back,
Sharon,
because mm-hmm.
once we begin taking more risks, because back then it was new, and so we were less risky. We had less risky grants. But
mm-hmm.
as we take more risks, that probably isn't going to stay up there. But
mm-hmm.
we can handle that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your experience with us, especially about the grant process. And wish you guys continued success
Thank you. Growth
and making a big impact in your community.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for finding us.
Yeah.
And what Paula said is she made an offer. We'd love to have you take it up. Come on and see us. In fact, one last thing, Sharon, one of the best things that Paula and I did, and one other member, is we visited the Baltimore Women's Giving Circle. We went down there, we met with them for 2 days, and we learned so much. And so, you know, women are very willing to share.
Yes.
So if you'd like to visit, we'd love to have you.
Yes, women give so much. And, you know,
doing
this interview with me is another extension of the giving that you're obviously doing in every other part of your life, too.
Yeah. Well,
appreciate
thank
it.
You so much.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. It's been great.
Yes.
And best luck and success to your giving circles as well, for sure.
Yes.